You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. I am frustrated because I'm having technical difficulties with my microphone, and I don't like that.
Okay.
I don't like that at all. But yeah, so we're going to, whatever, we're going to thug it out.
We're in the building.
I'm Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on Twitter, social media at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More important than that, please, did I spell that right? I don't think I did. I don't care. More important than that, please follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle, which is at CRS Podcast. ClockRadioSpeakers.com is powered by Tumblr. All 209 of our episodes are there. So if you ask, did we talk? Here's a tip. Now, I don't mind when people hit us up on Twitter and say, hey, did you guys talk about this? Like, I don't have any problems with that. But like, if you type in whatever artists and then type in Clock Radio Speakers, like, I don't know what you did, Doc, but our search engine's pretty good. Like the way that our stuff comes up. So if we, you know, if we talked about, you know, Slaughterhouse's album or something, or the Fugees album, because I got disrespected to my face about my opinion on the Fugees. You just search Fugees Clock Radio Speakers and a retro will come right up.
Yeah. And so at some point I need to make it a project to go back and clean up clockradiospeakers.com, because that still has like, there's probably still some old SoundCloud embeds and stuff in there. But if you're not listening to us via your favorite podcast app, which you should, but if you're not and you do it via the website, if you want to go back and listen to old stuff, go to podcast.clockradiospeakers.com. It is a much better interface for that. The search engine, it'll just be a much better experience than, oh, is this embed right or whatever. Like, you can just get it all through that website. So anyway, how's it going, man?
I'm cool besides this mic thing, but I'm straight. What's going on with you?
Everything's good. The good people can follow me at @doc_beats_s0z if they want.
Yeah, strange person.
I really need to make that a tag I can put on my beats, don't I?
S not a Z or something.
I got to get Marissa on the mic. She can do something.
Yeah, I think
Marissa, it shouldn't be me.
No, it shouldn't. And the tag that I just gave you was very J.R. Rotem. And if you do a J.R. Rotem tag, I will never rap over one of your beats again. Until somebody else raps over a beat that I've been sitting on for 2 years.
Yeah, I was going to say, I just unload the stash on Twitter.
Bruh, streets will go crazy. Speaking of beats.
Yes, sir.
The album is mixed and mastered.
Wait. Hold on. The album. What album are you talking about?
So Even If I Lose will be out. Today's February. So I can tell our listeners, because we love you guys, the album will be out this month. It was supposed to come out, I mean, tonight or tomorrow, depending on when this episode comes out. It was supposed to come out February 2nd. But I made the executive decision. I wanted to push it back. I wanted to create some content. I wanted to roll it out the way that this album deserves to be rolled out. I didn't want to like force it or just put it out there. Like, we've got a date. The date is cemented. Everything is done. The streets have the album, and I am thrilled and excited for you guys to listen to it. So you will have it this month for sure. And your man Doc, your man underscore, has the intro and the outro to the album. And from the feedback that I've been getting, both are early favorites from the Illuminati elite. People really, really like your contributions to the album, man. I'll just say this before it comes out. Thank you for your contributions. Thank you for all that you've done. Behind the scenes, ideas, all that good stuff, man. So thank you for your thumbprint.
You're welcome. I appreciate that. I'm glad to hear that people are liking it. It almost sounds like putting out an album is more complicated than, getting the share link off your Dropbox. It's a little more complicated these days. Hopefully with good reason, right? You're saying content. I'm going to go ahead and play the role of the fan here. Maybe some videos or a video or something, like stuff like that, right? That's what you're talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, content for sure. I'm shooting some stuff this weekend. I'm shooting another video off of 40 Days. I've already talked about it. If you follow me on Twitter, I'm sure you know what song that's for. But we're going to make it to where all this stuff sort of breaks out and it all connects, because 40 Days and Even If I Lose need each other to exist fully.
Mm.
So
See, which, now you need a song to connect them now.
No, we don't.
Just kidding.
Like, no, I don't, actually. I'm like, I'm into all the music that I'm putting out later this year. No, I'm not putting out anything new. I'm good. I'm good. But yeah, so that's been my week. It's just listening to the album nonstop, and I'm back in school. And yeah, that's about it. What's up with you, though?
Took a last minute trip down to New York. So the Grammys were in New York this week. We'll talk about the Grammys in a second. One of the side effects to that is they always have, a lot of like corporate sponsored like events with like, so MasterCard every year does this thing where they like all these people who are either nominated for Grammys or who they just want to have do like little live shows. And, my guy Francis and the Lights did a live show, down in New York on Friday night, but put on by the good people at MasterCard. I just asked them, like, can we go? Like, basically, can we? Because, it's one of those things where there's like two ways to get in. Either you're on a list or you show up and it's like first come, first serve.
Mm-hmm.
And considering we're like leaving after work and taking the train down and that whole nonsense, I didn't really want to show up because it's a free show. If for John Mish, I didn't want to show up and just be like, oh man, the line is out. You know what I mean? I don't want one of those things.
Right.
And he was. As usual, very gracious, and was like, yeah, I got you. So we show up and we didn't really know what to expect. So we get put in like this one line off to the side, and we're like, okay, cool. We're on quote unquote the list. And then we get up there and they hand us like a VIP lanyard. And I'm like, okay, this is great. And honestly, like, this is how you know you're old. Like, the best part about VIP at this place wasn't some exclusive access. It wasn't even the free drinks. It was the fact that they had actual nice people with a coat check that I didn't have to pay for.
I thought you were going to say seats. Like, I was able to sit down and enjoy myself. You said a coat check. That's not old. That's just bougie. That's just upper middle class Connecticut bouge from Doc and the Scorpies.
I'm definitely making my first B-tape just called Bougie. No. When it's wintertime and you're at the, like, you know how hot these shows get? You don't want to have a jacket. No, I don't want any of that thing. So that was nice. But then we got to, for these places, like, if you're, and we're very lucky, like, we know the artists. So, like, you realize, oh, there's another VIP that we didn't even know about in the back. So after the show, this was the first time he performed. So his new album out called Just For Us. It was the first time he had performed songs off that album, which was really just fascinating. This came together at such the last minute that, like, basically him and his DJ, they like did a walkthrough like earlier that day, but like he didn't really have like time to put the set list together. So it was just, it was really interesting, like, to see, like, cause having done the concert that we did right in the fall, mm-hmm. even if I lose experience, like I could sympathize a little bit. I was like, yeah, I get it. But we got to, we got to hang out with him after the show. And then, surprisingly for New York, the MasterCard thing, they were like, oh yeah, we're closed. Everybody's got to get out of here at 12.
12?
Yeah. At midnight. Like, they just, everybody was gone at midnight.
Huh?
So we end up with Francis and his guy, like, we're sitting there roaming the streets of New York looking for food to eat. And that's how I ended up eating bacon cheeseburgers at 1 a.m. in some random bar in the meatpacking district.
That burger was probably really good too.
Oh my goodness. So the burger was great. And because we're old, we get the hotel in New York now. And then, see, the secret to taking the train back early morning in New York is there's a Shake Shack in the basement of Grand Central now.
Mm.
And that Shake Shack serves breakfast sandwiches, which I think only one other Shake Shack does. So I definitely, after the bacon cheeseburger at 1 a.m., then at 7:30, I definitely had the sausage, egg, and cheese from Shake Shack. And then, needless to say, I had a spinach smoothie for lunch. Because
of course, right? You got to wash all that down with
which also is super bougie. My God, what has happened to me?
Yo,
I always been like this? Has this been a gradual?
I think it's gradual. Do you still drink tea while you do this show?
I normally do. I neglect it. I do not have tea next to me right now. I'm kind of parched, actually. But I'm just joking.
See,
super bougie. It's terrible. And working at Yale doesn't help either.
Right. You work at Yale. So not even just the culture, just the fact that you work at Yale.
So, yeah. So good trip to New York. it was interesting when we walked up, you know, so we made the mistake of trying to take a cab across town at like 8 o'clock at night, which you should never do in New York. We got to a point where it was just faster to get out and walk. And we're walking up and we're like maybe a half block away from where the MasterCard show was. And the line is just absurd. And we're just like, oh no, we misjudged how early we need to get here. But then I realized it's okay because Beats was putting on an event for Culture 2. It was some
So that wasn't your line.
It was a Grammy like release party thing.
Yeah.
And needless to say, the overlap in like the watching the mixture of like these are people showing up for a Migos show Grammy week in New York City and how and like the fashion that they're bringing versus here are people showing up for a Francis in the Light show.
Right.
There was some incredible people watching going on. Plus all the regular people just who want to be down in Chelsea in the meatpacking district in New York City on a Friday night.
Yeah, one of the best people watching experiences I had was when we went to the Kristen Gray and Swoop concert at Santos, RIP Santos Party House. I forgot what borough of New York that was in, but not only the people there, but just being outside, the venue got double booked, and just that was the first time I was in New York and it wasn't cold. I think we were there like in September, October, or something like that. And so I got to actually like, man, if I could just stand in the middle of New York, like maybe around like Memorial Day weekend or something like that, where it's not too hot.
Yeah.
People watching would be like superb. Yes, I said superb.
It's okay. One other thing I wanted to mention. I finally saw, this is how you know I'm sheltered up in Connecticut. I finally saw my first pair of the one of the off-white Nike sneakers in person.
Okay. Up close. Which ones did you see?
The Prestos.
Those are one of the best ones.
They're hideous. They're the worst sneaker I've ever seen in my life. Y'all are suckers. Every last one of you. Francis's DJ had them on. And I was sitting there. We were like in the green room area. And I was like sitting across from him. We were talking and everything. And I'm looking at these sneakers. And I'm like, my God. Like, I know people that like them. I'm like, there's just no way. It's just no way. And the best part was, of course, I mentioned that to Marissa, and she was like, yeah, I noticed like it looked like they still had a tag on them. And I was like, uh-huh. Yep. And then I had to go and try to explain first, like to even – that's one of those shoes – like to explain to somebody who doesn't know anything about shoe culture.
Right.
How that series of like drops came about into like – first you have to explain to somebody off-white.
Yes.
And that entire aesthetic.
It's totally Yeah.
It took quite, it was really kind of funny because I realized I was like, wow, it actually takes a lot to explain how you get to this point.
Yeah. Yeah. High end fashion is like, it's a culture that's, it's a culture that's very hard to explain. I mean, like even with Supreme now, I don't know if you've seen they're doing a collab. That's why I knew they're doing a collab with the NBA. That's how I knew when J.R. Smith wore the shooting sleeve. I knew that was like a plant.
Like an industry plant.
Yeah, exactly. It was like, all right, we're doing this, and so we're gonna fine you $5,000, quote unquote, whatever. But no, it was to make Supreme look like this brash brand that breaks the rules. And so they are coming out with Air Force Ones, white ones and black ones, with NBA logos all over the shoe.
Yeah, I saw that.
Just like the jeans and the jacket, and that's just super trash to me. So how I can explain that and why a Supreme hoodie is going for like $900 on the low end? Like I try to explain that to my girl and it's just like, she's fascinated, but she's like disgusted at the same time. People are really spending this much money on that.
Right.
But you know, I guess I can't.
I I really shouldn't talk right. Cause like I own so much like official UConn Nike gear and that stuff. I spend way too much money on that. But like, that's a whole different kind of world. Like if you like 90 for a hoodie, I'm like, yeah. I could drop 90 for a UConn Nike hoodie.
I totally am going to do a Kairos culture on different types of hoodies because the first time you really spend money on a hoodie, it's just different. It's different. I look at my $6 Hanes hoodies in disgust now. I can't do it. You really don't. A $6 hoodie or a $12 hoodie versus a $20 H&M hoodie versus like a $40 Adidas hoodie, a $60 Nike hoodie, and then maybe like a $90, $100. It's different.
Oh, yeah. It's so different. There's definitely a difference between like paying for quality versus paying for fashion.
Yes.
And sometimes those overlap.
Yes.
Right? Like I'm a I'm a big fan of the brand Everlane.
Yes, I will be getting an Everlane piece within the next few weeks. I don't know what, though.
The amount of Everlane I own is absurd.
But the Everlane is going to last. And really, in retrospect, it's going to last you forever, one. Two, Everlane stuff isn't that expensive.
No, it's not. I mean, it's not like H&M prices, right? It's not like Gap factory prices, right? But it's right. I also buy I'm a white guy who works at Yale, right? So I got a lot of Bonobos, I got a lot of J. Crew, and I got a lot of Everlane. Like that's my thing, you know?
Right.
And for like the price, yeah. I mean, like I'm really close. Like the trip to New York had me realizing, again, I'm so bougie, I know. Had me realizing, you know, I think it's time to buy one of those Everlane Weekender bags.
Yes, that was the first piece I was going to get.
Yeah, because right now, we have a whole luggage set we got when we got married. But like, if we're just taking like an overnight to the city, we just bring our backpacks. But like,
yeah,
come on. Like, you know, I can have a weekender. I could do that.
Yeah, yeah. And what is that? Like, is that a bill that's 100?
It's 115.
Okay. But that bag's going to last you forever.
Yeah, I hope so.
So I think what people need to understand is there, like, some of that stuff is kind of like it's almost an investment. Because if you are consistently spending $30 on a backpack and it only lasts for a couple years before you completely destroy it or whatever, it rips up. You end up buying that bag three times. You spent the same amount of money as that one time that you bought that $100 bag.
Yeah. No, this is the whole, like, I mean, this is why people in New England, like, you buy, like, winter clothes from L.L. Bean, right?
Exactly.
It's not, like, it's not fashion forward. Like, some of that stuff comes around, but it's also, like, classic pieces. But the idea is, like, it's almost indestructible, and they'll just replace it anyway.
Exactly.
Like, you can always bring something. It's crazy. You can bring, if you have something from L.L. Bean, you can just bring it back, and they'll just give you a new one.
Now, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So, I own a pair of, like, the L.L. Bean boots, right?
Okay.
Like, I'm starting to kind of wear them in weird places, whatever. Like, I haven't done it yet, but like, people just wear them to death, and they just bring them in and they just get a new pair.
But that's good though, especially for the Northeast.
Yeah, because I mean, I know that Bean boots have came back in fashion for a bit anyway, but like, those are always in fashion up here. You can wear those one.
Yep. And some things don't really go out of style just because of what, like, function, like things like functionality are always going
to
be in style.
Yeah. I mean, also, like, I mean, it's interesting though. I didn't expect to talk fashion with you on the show today. Like, what's interesting is like what really kind of changes over time, like, especially as you get older, it's not so much that like different things. It's like what you really notice the differences is like, it's quality, but it's also like fits come in and out of style.
Yes.
Right. Like, yep. That's what's been fascinating to watch, like the 90s and what will soon, you know, merge into an early 2000s renaissance is like the fits will be different. Right. They're already different.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. It's already coming back to like the much baggier fit. That's coming back.
I know. And I'm like, nah.
Yeah.
Like, I don't need the super skinny, like, rock star jeans, like, necessarily. Yeah. Cause I don't have super skinny legs, so I look ridiculous in that, and I'm not trying to look like that. But I'm all like, I also don't need to look like how I dressed in like 2003.
Right.
So,
yep.
Speaking of the 90s throwback, you see your boy Bruno Mars and Cardi B performed at the Grammys.
Yeah. Do we just want to jump and talk about the Grammys just as a whole?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, let's do it. So, okay, let me pull up my whole list. Yeah, Cardi, I was about to say.
You were going to say Bardi at Cardi?
No, I was going to say Cardi Mars and Bruno B. Cardi B and Bruno Mars, they did Finesse.
Bruno B is definitely a beatboxer.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%.
Yeah.
Bruno. Name is Bruno. Okay, whatever. Yeah, they did Finesse.
Yeah.
I only saw the second half of their performance.
So. Yeah, it was fine. It was good.
It was fine.
It's Cardi, a fun song.
It is. Cardi doesn't have rhythm, which was kind of odd.
I saw you making sly jokes on Twitter.
I mean, because anytime I turned on the Grammys, because I was watching the Royal Rumble, anytime I turned on the Grammys, something funny was on. So I just decided to make a comment or, you know, whatever. Yeah, it was fine for what it was. It was exactly what it should have been. Dress in the 90s. Lots of dancing, lots of energy. It's a Bruno Mars performance. And like you said, it's a fun song. So it was fine. How do you feel about, are we going to directly talk into Bruno?
Let's do it. He cleaned up.
How many did he win?
Six.
How many did Kendrick?
Including the big three. Record of the year, album of the year, song of the year.
How many did Kendrick win?
5.
Nice.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's super crazy. So are we upset that Bruno won 4 or won 6 awards?
I wouldn't say upset. I wasn't surprised. So he won Best R&B Song for That's What I Like, Best R&B Performance for That's What I Like, and Best R&B Album for 24 Karat Magic.
Mm-hmm.
The R&B category is kind of split. There's like R&B and then there's Urban Contemporary.
Right.
And so there's a lot of room for different artists there, right?
Yes.
Which meant I expected both Bruno and Childish to do pretty well.
Yes.
But I knew Childish was going to be out of the running when The Weeknd beat him for Best Urban Contemporary Album.
I'm looking at that right now.
And at that point, like, it's not always a one-to-one, but like at that point I was like, he didn't have a chance. Because I sort of thought he might have an outside chance at Album of the Year. But I was like, nah. Nope, not happening. You know, some people thought this might happen. For Album of the Year, you know, if you're a hip hop fan, right, then you chose, you know, for some people it wasn't that hard of a choice, right? I think like you and I, like you would certainly have picked 444 and I certainly would have picked Damn if I had to pick a rap album in that category, right?
Yeah, maybe Tyler.
Sure, except he wasn't nominated for Album of the Year. You know what I mean? I mean, out of the nominees.
Oh, I'm sorry, Album of the Year. My apologies. Yes. Yeah. Either one of those three. And even if Kendrick would have won, I wouldn't be, again, like, I don't like the album, but I understand why people like it so much.
Right. But because you had two, you know, high profile rap albums, like some people thought, man, maybe they split the rap vote. And what you end up with is, you know, who doesn't like Bruno?
Right.
But then you start to get a bit of a backlash, right? Because people kind of, I think, treat him as like, yeah, Bruno's good. But Album of the Year? Really?
Yeah, I think it was because 444 and Damn were so strong in terms of what they represented, particularly in the kind of year that African Americans had just in general, that both of those albums kind of served as theme music. And so I feel like more people who are fans of, and I don't want to discredit any fans of any other races of those projects. So I guess I should say maybe the climate of our culture. So maybe people feel like those things represented where we are right now better than Bruno.
Mm.
And so that's why when Bruno wins, because when 24 Karat Magic came out, I mean, we talked about how flawless the songwriting was, how enjoyable the album was, and now it's oh, it's a parody album. You know,
I mean, like, I think that's a bit extra, right? It's not a parody album, but
that's the point. That's like when you're arguing with your girl and your girl starts throwing pillow talk in your face. Well, that's why you ain't. And it's like, that's not even, why are you bringing that out? It's not relevant to the argument, and now you're just being petty. Because you're angry.
I mean, yeah. So Album of the Year is interesting. I mean, honestly, like, I can't believe that That's What I Like one Song of the Year.
Hold on. Let's go Song of the Year. Song of the Year is Despacito, a song that I still have not heard.
Could you listen to it right now live for the first time?
Oh, my God. All right, hold on. There's 444. Okay, that's weird that that's Song of the Year. Okay.
Right.
What's Issues?
Issues,
Who's that by?
Keep going.
It's
by Julia Michaels.
8675309 by Logic. Listen.
Could someone bash that up, please? Like, for real.
And then just add, is everybody gonna be... Oh, man. I really don't like Logic.
Who can relate? Woo! It's really the worst ad lib I've ever heard in my life.
Oh, God.
Yeah, and then Bruno.
I feel like I've done this on the show, though.
Yeah, we have. So we can last long.
Tú eres el imán y yo soy el metal. No, never heard this before. Nope, that's fine. It's not for me.
It's not for you.
Yeah, and that's cool. That's fine. Okay, that's interesting. So when did 24 Karat Magic? Well, okay, I think because 24 Karat Magic was such a polarizing song, are we kind of underestimating how big That's What I Like was?
I mean, I totally did, right? I always thought That's What I Like is kind of a weird song to me because the opening part to it kind of feels like a TI record from 10 years ago. But then the hook sounds like a 90s R&B record, and I can't, I mean...
Right.
But, you know, I think people like Bruno, right? Like, if anything, that song was so big that he didn't really, I mean, basically, he didn't need anything until Finesse. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I like really carried him for much of the year, but.
It did.
I don't know. I mean, look, Bruno has now, he's played 2 Super Bowl halftime shows.
Yep.
He's won. I mean, he cleaned up at the Grammys.
Yep.
I mean, you know, people need to put some respect on his name.
I agree with that. Like, it is what it is. Like, we can. Bruno Mars has had a year, has had a great, I'll just say this. Bruno Mars has had an amazing last 2 years.
Yes.
So, you know, if at the biggest awards, because I guess on one hand, yes, like, he had a great year. The music was great, right? Cool. But I feel like people kind of overestimate the emphasis on talent and skill in the Grammys. I still think that Bruno being as successful as he has been with this music also attributes to your casual listener who has probably heard Bruno Mars' album but may not have heard Tyler's album, may not have heard 444. They may have heard about 444 and what it represented and what he talked about, but hearing and seeing Bruno everywhere, like, and then we can also factor in, okay, there's politics, there's like record label stuff, okay, whatever. But like, Bruno had he had everything covered. So like, you can't be upset that he won, and you can't, I'm just gonna say this. Hey, black people, we can't blame everything on racism in 2018. Like, it's just, like, Jay-Z didn't get robbed because he's talking about financial empowerment and all these things that America has, no, it's a music award. It's an award for music. Like, miss me with all of that, please. But I'm done ranting. I'm sure there'll be others in the show. I'm upset that Logic was nominated for 8675309.
It's an important song, Armand.
But that's the thing. That's what we talk about on the show.
It's just not a good song.
It's not a good song.
It's not a good song.
I'm not going to say that because that's being insensitive. The song's really bad.
I just don't think it's a good song.
At all. Yeah, okay, I'm done. Because now I sound like a hater. Go ahead.
And meanwhile, in the rap categories, Kendrick was just like, I got this. All of it.
I don't even know why did Music Soul Child show up to the Grammys? I mean, but I guess it's like for the experience, but at the same time, it's like you knew you weren't. Like, not next to Kendrick and Bruno and Jay-Z. Like, that wasn't happening. But yeah, so then why, I don't know. This just should have been Kendrick and Bruno like performing mashups of their whole album.
I knew Kendrick was gonna have a really, I knew that his night was big anyway, but like, I really thought he might have had a shot at Album of the Year.
I agree.
When he won for Loyalty. That really surprised me.
What did he win? Best Rap Song Performance?
That's right.
I don't see anything on here that was a clear winner besides Loyalty.
Well, in a previous year, you would normally just assume that the voters would always go, oh, what's that, a Jay-Z and Beyonce record? Check.
Yeah, but Family Feud's like a hippity-hop record.
No, but again, sometimes, I mean, look, do you think people really, I mean, do you think that a lot of these, like, I think that if you are not a fan of a certain genre, like, I really don't believe that people, like, it's not like people who are in the urban contemporary genre, whoever those people might be, whatever that's supposed to mean, actually really thought that The Weeknd's album was the best of those. It's that they know The Weeknd's, it's that of the entire Grammy, like, body of people, they know The Weeknd.
Right. Exactly.
And that's what happens in some of these, right? It's why Eminem, in any year he's nominated, will have a shot in every category. That's a rap category, because people who don't pay attention to hip-hop are like, oh, I know Eminem. So the fact that enough people said, no, Loyalty is good, or I like that record, as opposed to the flood of other people who are like, oh, what's that? Jay and Beyonce? Check.
Or maybe they're saying, oh, what is that? Kendrick and Rihanna?
Well, right. I just thought that was noteworthy in and of itself.
Yeah. And again, like, to go back to our damn review, like, Loyalty's a well-written song.
Yeah, it's a good record.
That also samples Bruno Mars.
Right.
So there's that.
Does Bruno get a check for that? I'm just kidding.
I'm sure he does.
I mean, he gets a check, but I don't, you know.
Right. But yeah, I'm not surprised. But yeah, I agree with you. Like, this really was their show, and that really gave them a chance. Like, I wouldn't have been surprised if Damn won. But I also feel like a reoccurring theme in the Grammys is them missing it the year that, like, the fans feel like the artist should get the recognition, and then them getting it a year later.
I mean, that definitely happens sometimes, that's for sure. I don't think that always happens, right? But we'll see. I mean, right, it'd be funny if, like, Kendrick's next album, universally people were like, well, and then that's the one he wins for?
Right. Well, no, what I'm saying is this was the year for Kendrick to make up for the other years where a lot of us thought that he should have gotten multiple Grammy wins for To Pimp a Butterfly and Good Kid, M.A.A.d City.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, you know me, like, I mean, I think Damn is better than To Pimp a Butterfly, and I think he deserved every Grammy he got.
I think that Damn is clearly, we said it when we reviewed the album, Damn is clearly the, I'm shooting for the moon. Like, I've done all of my deep artist, musician, the album has to be in these skits and, like, all the deep stuff that artists, particularly rappers, want to do. This was, how can I stay on the radio? How can I be on TV and movies? How can I get in spaces that I otherwise wouldn't get on? As you,
I think you're being a bit dismissive.
Dismissive of what? That his goal was to make more commercially viable records? That's not dismissive.
I think Humble is commercially viable. I think loyalty is commercially viable. I think DNA is not commercially viable.
But that was the theme song for the opening night of NBA. So that's what I'm saying, like, getting your music in different spaces.
That's fair.
That's me saying that is not a diss. I think that as an artist, like, that's your goal. Like, all right, I want to make a classic album. He got it. I want to make it. Then, you know, the idea was after Good Kid, M.A.A.d City, he went on tour and some of the records didn't translate well with a live band. Okay, so I want more musicianship on the second album. Boom, To Pimp a Butterfly is like a jazz album, a freaky beatnik album. Does that, deep Tupac, all that stuff, right? Now it's like, all right, and I'm sure while he's getting this success, as you accomplish initial goals, goals create more goals. Okay, I've accomplished this. Now I want to try for this. And so I think that with this go around, it was, I wonder, could I win a Grammy for Album of the Year? I wonder, could I potentially perform at the Super Bowl? Or could I perform at, the NBA playoffs or All-Star or whatever? Like, can I get into these other spaces? Can I get my music licensed for a summer blockbuster film? Like, and he's accomplished all that. So I'm not dissing him by saying that. I think it's natural progression. And in retrospect, Damn getting all the awards that it got, it makes sense as to why Good Kid, M.A.A.d City and To Pimp a Butterfly did not get them, because this is clearly a quote-unquote Grammy album, because it's easily digestible by a casual fan.
That's fair. I was disappointed that he, like, if you're going to go to the trouble of bringing out U2 for X-Rated, like, please perform the second half of that song, which is amazing. But he had to be all extra.
That was the most
extra performance. And I know people were like, oh my God. Just like they are with his videos. It's like, you know what? Yeah. Sometimes, like, I'll tell you what. When he reinvents himself and he does, like, as he gets older, at some point he'll do the stripped down, like, less, like, it, all the theatrics, and he'll do, like, that, you know, sitting on the stool Grammy performance, and everybody will be like, oh, what an innovative. I'm gonna be like, listen, I've been telling y'all since day one, sometimes less is more.
Yeah,
but here's the thing, like, he's so good at what he does, like, he can pull off the extraness, but man, that performance was so extra.
It was a lot, it was sensory overload. It was, and it
which
was like, all right,
which was the idea
minutes, so I'm gonna fit. What'd you say?
It was the idea. It was a heat check.
It was, like, a heat check.
I mean, but you know, it still worked for people. So it's not, you know, he's not J.R. Smith throwing up from half court. Like, you know, he's like,
pfft. He's Steph Curry throwing up from half court.
He checks the wrong word. He's flexing.
Flexing.
Yeah. Like the kids say.
That's what the kids say. Yeah. I noticed that. I don't think the kids say Zuvi anymore, Doc.
Yeah, I know. I think the old people say Zuvi.
Yeah, we definitely say Zuvi.
We have become the people we hate.
Absolutely, 100%. What else on that's Grammy related? I guess we need to talk about.
I thought Childish might get more. He got one Grammy. I thought he would get more. I think he just got stuck. I think Bruno just steamrolled.
Wrong year.
Maybe the wrong year. I mean, it's kind of amazing, right? Because Redbone did well, and I mean, he performed Terrified, which is just, I mean, I like that song, but like, he might, I want to see where he goes next. Because apparently he's retiring the Childish Gambino name. This is it.
See, just fake deep. Jesus.
I think that will help him. Because right so now, when you
so
say.
So he's going to go by Donald Glover?
I don't know what he'll go by. But I think right now, like, if you say, now singing the song Terrified is Childish Gambino. Like, I know, I know, like, I just can't, like.
It's the way you said it. They're not going to say it like that. Childish Gambino.
But also, like, it's the same look that America had when they interviewed Lil Uzi Vert on the red carpet, right? They're like, that was the worst interview. I mean, anyway. But like, that's always going to be a barrier for him. So he should just go by Donald Glover. Like, imagine if, like, you know how Bruce Willis and Eddie Murphy, they made music in the 80s?
Of course.
Now, imagine if they had a second name that they went by.
That's true.
Wouldn't that be crazy?
That's true.
Now, he's much more musically talented than they were. Sorry, Eddie Murphy.
I was going to say, Eddie Murphy, that's arguable.
No, stop
Childish Gambino could never do a What's Up With You or a Party All The Time.
You know who could do Party All The Time and probably do it better?
Who?
Bruno Mars.
He actually would kind of kill that. Like, all jokes aside, Bruno would probably kill
Party
All The Time.
Of course he would. Look, I say this with absolutely no ill intent, no malice. When he is at a stage in his career where he's not generating top hits anymore, he is going to have as long of a career as he wants in Vegas. And he's going to crush it.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And he will be, and this is like far in the future, because even before he gets there, he's just going to go be able to tour, right? Because now he's got album of the year going. Like, he is just going to be a reliably great show to go see forever.
Yeah.
And I think that's amazing.
I agree with that. Yeah, he'll kill Vegas. 100%. 100%.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.